chapter 6. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 24 and read down through verse number 34. And if you are able to, would you stand with me out of respect and reverence for the Word of God? Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 24 through verse 34. I'll read the even-numbered verses. Would you read the odd-numbered verses with me through verse number 34? No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not life more than meat, and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Father, please bless this message to our hearts. Lord, change us through your Spirit and through your Word. Conform us into the image of Christ, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. This is our fourth message in this series, summer series on faith. In our first message, we talked about have faith in God, and we looked at how we ought to have faith in God's Word and God's will and God's ways. Our second message, we looked at the faith, and we really looked at the articles of the faith, the things that we most assuredly believe. Listen, this church still believes in the verbal inspiration of the Bible. We believe you can trust this book, amen. This church still believes that Jesus Christ was virgin born and bodily resurrected, amen. We still believe in a blood atonement, amen. The fact that Jesus Christ shed his blood, and on in that message we went. And our third message last week, we talked about the importance of faith. From Hebrews chapter 11, we looked at the definition of faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Then we looked at the declaration of faith, for by it, faith, the elders obtained a good report. Then we looked at the deduction of faith, for by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. The fact is, ladies and gentlemen, God spake and it was. What tells us that? The world says, oh, that couldn't be. What tells us that? Faith. Faith. By the way, they have a whole lot more faith than you and I do. They think nothing from nothing made nothing. And we think God made everything. And thank God. So then we looked at the importance of faith, and we talked about how faith is fundamental for satisfying God. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him, the Bible says. And then we looked at not only is it fundamental for satisfying God, but it's essential in the salvation of God. For by grace are you saved through faith. Amen. It's also ascertainable of the Spirit of God. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, long-suffering, meekness. Faith. Faith. Listen, somebody that doesn't have any faith at all, you have to deduce that the Spirit of God is not present. Why? Because the Bible says in Romans 12:3 that God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. And we trust Him and we grow our faith. And it's conditional upon supplication with God. What does that mean? James 1, I believe it's verse 6, says, but let him ask in faith, nothing waver. What's he talking about there? Asking God for wisdom? Why? Because He wants to give it. Why? Because He exists and wants to give it. So we can ask in faith. And then we talked about, lastly, that it's indispensable for sojourning with God. For we walk by, not by sight. I'm glad we don't walk by sight. You know, God veils tomorrow. And aren't you glad? I think if He didn't veil tomorrow, some of us would curl up in that corner in a little ball and cry. Because we knew, if we knew exactly what was coming, God says, just trust me and walk by faith. Walk by faith. You know, everyone exercises some sort of faith on a daily basis. You say, no, no, the atheist says he doesn't exercise faith. Well, let me just say this. If he endorses a check, he exercises faith in that financial institution. Huh? If he flips on a light switch, I don't know anything about electricity. Brother Lem could tell you everything you need to know. I know this. I'd rather flick a switch by faith than sit in the dark by sight. Huh? Listen, I just have faith that that's going to work. I think about things like if you ingest a prescription, you take it on faith that you got the right prescription and your doctor took it along the way. Amen. You take that on faith. I think about if you turn a car, again, you're like me, you don't understand. You just turn it. If you get on an airplane, I tell you, every time I've ever flown, I get off the plane, I see the pilot say, thank you, sir. Thank you. Thank you. Why? Because I got in that plane exercising total faith in that man's skill and ability. Total faith. I think if you step on the second floor of a house, you're taking it on faith that the person who built it was reputable. Amen. It goes on and on. You think about it. You take a drink of water. I'll tell you what, we take that for granted in America. Clean water. Brother Kay's talking about having a well. You take it on faith that there's nothing poison in that. And on we could go. You know, this chapter, it's a great chapter of the Word of God, Matthew 6. And I don't have time to really develop it. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount. And I could give you just quickly, the first four verses teach us to give graciously. Verses 5 through 13 teach us to pray privately. Verses 14 and 15 teach us to forgive freely. Verses 16 through 18 tells us to fast faithfully. Not an oft-preached doctrine in Christendom, but fasting. There are some things that God wants us to pray and fast about. But then, lastly here, in verses 19 through 34, we're told that we can trust triumphantly. We don't have to worry. We don't have to go through life worrying. You know, we can consider the fowls and we can consider the flowers and how God cares for them and how God clothes them. And we don't have to worry. Well, look at verse 30 with me. And we've got to hurry here. My goodness, it's 2 minutes to eight. Verse number 30, it says here, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall He not much more clothe you? And look at this next phrase, church. O ye of what kind of faith? Little faith. The topic tonight is little faith. Little faith. Just as there are those who exhibit great faith, which we'll look at in a couple of weeks, if you read Matthew 8:10 and Luke 7:9 and Matthew 15:28, and by the way, it's an amazing, when you look at the Word of God, it's amazing that the people that exercised great faith were not Jews. Both of them, that it says, that the Bible says, exercise great faith, were Gentiles. The Syrophoenician woman and the Roman soldier who had men underneath him. It's really very interesting to think about. You would think the Jews would exercise great faith because they had great knowledge. But sometimes those don't always add up, do they? Sometimes those of us with the most knowledge have the least faith. Well, there's great faith, but because there's great faith, conversely on that pendulum, there's also little faith. Little faith. The phrase little faith is used five times in the New Testament in your King James Bible. Four times in Matthew that we're going to look at tonight, and once in Luke 12:28, which is a parallel account of this account right here in Matthew 6:30. So we're going to examine these four instances. And we're going to look at our own lives quickly and say, when we have little faith, when we're of little faith, what happens in our lives? What is evident? What manifests itself in our lives? I'll tell you what, number one, according to this text, the first thing that manifests itself is fretfulness. Fretfulness. Fretfulness, fretting over things, is a byproduct of little tiny faith. Now listen, this is easy preaching and hard living, because there are times when I feel like my faith is smaller than the seed of a mustard seed, Brother Case, amen? And I know why, because I'm fretting about this and fretting about that and what's going to happen here and what's going to happen here. And you go, ho, 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 ho. What does this say here? This whole chapter is about what happens. We're worrying. We're worrying. And God is saying here, the Lord Jesus Christ is saying, look, God clothes the grass, which is only for a day. God clothes the lily, which is way more beautiful than Solomon in all his glory. God feeds every one of the birds every day. And if you look at, it's such a great thought. If you look at verse 26, the bottom of verse 26, he says there, are ye not much better than they? He's talking about the birds. I know that the animal rights activists would have their doubts, but God is the one that said man is the crown of his creation. He's the one that's made in the image of God. I think of that oft-quoted poem, said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think it must be that they have no heavenly father such as cares for you and me. Your fretfulness, you're a fingernail chewer. It's Christian, Mama Howland. We don't worry, we're concerned. That's Christian. That's a Christian for I'm fretting and I'm worried. Hey, listen. Fretfulness. What does he say here? Oh, ye of what kind of faith? Little faith. Worrying about am I going to be able to eat? Am I going to be? And by the way, those are natural things. We're going to talk about it at the very end of the message here. But fretfulness, I've got to move here. By the way, prayer and trust in His promises brings peace. Be careful, fretful, worried over nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. You know what, God? We need rain. We need rain. We need rain or we're not going to have any food. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus our Lord. Little faith, it manifests itself in fretfulness. Go over to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. And we'll kind of duck and run here. We'll hit both of these. The second one. Not only fretfulness, but Matthew chapter 8, verse 26. Many of you remember this account of when Jesus stilled the storm, but there was a storm to still, wasn't there? Verse 25, and his disciples came unto him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us, we perish. And he saith unto them, why are ye fearful, O ye of... Okay, jump over to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. Verse 31, another time on the sea here. Verse number 28, and Peter answered him and said, Lord, if thou bid me come unto thee on the water, and he said, come. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. And he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Little faith, when we have little faith, when our faith isn't what it ought to be, it'll manifest itself in fretfulness, but it'll also manifest itself in fearfulness. Fearfulness. There are many situations in life when we can either choose whether to be overcome by fear or exercise faith in our Heavenly Father. Jesus stilled the storm of the sea, but the disciples' little faith prevented him from stilling the storm of his heart. That's the way we are sometimes. You know why the majority of Christians don't witness for God? One word, fear. 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 Listen, ladies and gentlemen, we've got the story to tell. Come on. We've got the story to tell. I'll tell you what, when we had that little faith, well, what are they going to think about me? I wonder what, you know, the Bible talks about fear not him which is able to kill the body, but fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell. You know, it's maybe time we started fearing God a little bit more than man. The fear of man bringeth a snare. And here's Peter. And here's all the disciples. Now, listen, they were with Jesus in the boat. Did they really think that God was going to sink the boat and kill Jesus? Why would they think that? I'll tell you why. Little tiny faith. Little faith causes us to manifest in fearfulness. And then thirdly, go over just a page here to Matthew chapter 16. I love this passage, by the way. I love the humanity of the disciples. I really do, because it just shows us. It's like a reflection of us. And we look at that and we say, you know, I need help too, Lord. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, and look at verse 6. Said, then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not understand and remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000? Or how many baskets you took up? Neither of the 7 loaves of the 4,000, how many baskets you took up? Fretfulness. Our little faith will manifest itself in fretfulness. It'll manifest itself in fearfulness. And then thirdly, and I think maybe saddest of all, our little faith will manifest itself in forgetfulness. Huh? Wait a second. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And of course, later on, he's talking about their doctrine. Beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees. You know what they do? Pharisees say and do not. The Sadducees were the liberals of the day. You didn't want to have anything to do with their doctrine at all. It was a mess. Just like today. Just like today. But they said, we forgot bread. What are we going to do? That's why he said it. I know that's why he said it. It's because we forgot bread. Andrew, how come you didn't get the bread? I told you to. I thought you were to get the bread. And Jesus said, time out. Time out. Guys, remember 5 loaves, 2 fishes? Don't you remember that? Hey, remember 7 and 4,000? God, I don't know how you're going to do this. I don't know how you're going to do this. Did you forget all the other times he came through for you? God, I just don't see an end to this. That's okay. God does. What happens? We become forgetful. I'll tell you, just thinking about this recently, I just saw somebody had... They posted a quote from Tozer, and I'll tell you what, if you want to read a deep, simple preacher, read A.W. Tozer. Wonderful man of God. And he talked about how people think they're in control, but God's in control. You know, there was a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. Caesar thought he was the most important person on top of Mount Everest. And God, it was only the fourth empire that God brought to pass to bring his son to Bethlehem to be born. Hey, listen, I know it's easy preaching and hard living. It's easy to preach this, another thing to live it. But listen, let's not get forgetful. That's what happens when we have little faith. We forget God. You can read in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 9, where it talks about those who don't build their faith. They don't add to their faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and knowledge temperance, and to temperance brotherly kindness, and this whole laundry list here. You know what happens? The Bible says, Pastor Mark, that they can actually forget that they were purged from their old sins. They can actually forget they're even saved. Huh? Little faith, forgetfulness. Little faith, fearfulness. Little faith, fretfulness. So let's give a quick application here. Just three quick applications. Luke 17:5, we're going to talk about it in a few weeks, says, increase our faith. Increase our faith. I don't know about you, I get a little disgusted at my small faith sometimes. I don't get disgusted at anybody else's faith. I get disgusted at my own small faith. So what can help us to increase our faith, to uplift? I'll tell you what, if you go back to Matthew chapter 6, I think it's the key to this whole passage is verse 32. We preach verse 33, and it's great. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's a great verse, Brother Hauser, but I'll tell you what, verse 32 is, I believe, far more important. Because here it is to your faith. Here's the application. You know what about your little faith? You have a heavenly Father. Don't you ever forget it. Don't you ever forget it. I can't imagine my children forgetting that I was their father. Can't imagine. I'll tell you what, it says right there. For after all these things to the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. My little boy started playing baseball this year. Boy, that's fun. That's fun. Just watching them, you know, seeing these little pitchers. You know, they wiggle, like they can't make it to the plate, but they're just out there having fun. See them out there. You know what? I knew my son needed cleats. I knew he needed a bat. I knew he needed a helmet. I knew he needed socks and all the things, batting gloves and all that. I knew he needed that. Your heavenly Father knows that you have needs. And He's a whole lot better Father than any of us and all of us put together. So remember that. You have a heavenly Father. Number one, that'll help you to increase your faith. Amen. Secondly, you can trust Him. I know Nana DeCamp is here tonight, and her favorite verses are these verses. And that's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. You know what, ladies and gentlemen? You have a heavenly Father, and He can be trusted. There's a song that my friends, the Tharp brothers, sing. It's a great song. It's called No Need to Doubt Him Now. No need to doubt. Looking back through the years, through heartaches and tears, the Lord has never once let me down. Though I don't understand the ways of His plan, I know. Listen, He said this, no need to doubt Him now. He'll make a way somehow. Why? That's what He does. That's what He does. He always makes a way. Listen, the application here is this. If you have little faith, remember you have a heavenly Father. And remember, He can be trusted. And then lastly, go to Matthew 7:11. 7:11, amen? It's a good 7:11 verse here too. Hallelujah. Said, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him? You have a heavenly Father. You can trust Him, and He will provide. Just read the Bible. Did He provide a sacrifice for Abraham? He sure did. But wait, He had Isaac all bound and ready. But He had a sacrifice right there. Hey, did He provide a sacrifice for Adam and Eve when He clothed them with skins in the garden? Did He provide a sacrifice for Moses in the Passover and all Israel? Hey, did He provide a sacrifice for you and I so that we could go to heaven? Hey, He wouldn't do that and then not meet our daily needs. Listen, little faith. Let's grow it. Let's grow it. Let's remember we got a Heavenly Father. Let's remember that He can be trusted. Let's remember that He will provide. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide. God will take care of you. Father, we love you and thank you. Lord, forgive us for little faith. Forgive me for little faith. Oh Lord, I so many times just fret about things. Lord, you know, I'm just bearing my heart tonight as a pastor. So many times I see things and I fret and I worry. And Lord, then you shake me and say, remember what you preach. Remember that I'm your Heavenly Father. Oh Lord, I pray, I know if I deal with that, that so many others struggle with that as well. Bless us tonight. Increase our faith. Help us to trust you more today than we did yesterday. We pray in Christ's name. 419, let's stand. You're here tonight. Listen, maybe you're not even saved. You know, it's possible in a crowd like this that someone has never trusted Jesus Christ as their Savior. I remember the day when I did that. I remember the day when I said, I know I'm a sinner. I know I am. And I know I need to be saved, and I know Jesus wanted to save me. But maybe you're here and you're just fretting, or you're fearful, or you're forgetting how good God's been to you. I want to give you an opportunity as we sing Miss Robin, page 419. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. The altar's open as we sing. Amen. Sing it out on the first verse now. Here we go, on verse 1. Be not dismayed, whate'er betide, God will take care of you. Beneath His wings of love abide, God will take care of you.